It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Chizinski. Each month, Dr. Chizinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Chizinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories in our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there is much to celebrate. We're here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio station, KXCV KRNW. Hope you're enjoying the dog days this summer and the Missouri State Fair and that one last vacation of the season. I'm John Coffey, filling in for Northwest Missouri State President Dr. John Chizinski. We'll provide two segments this month. In segment one, we feature Marcy Bennett, Executive Director of the St. Joseph Convention Visitors Bureau. In segment two, we feature Dr. Tim Wall, Dean of the Northwest School of Education. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoyed this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Marcy Bennett. Marcy initially became involved with the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau in 1993 when her consulting firm was hired to start the organization. In 1994, Marcy was promoted to Executive Director, and under her leadership, the Convention Visitors Bureau has proven to be effective as a marketing instrument to attract visitors to Buchanan County and the entire region. The economic impact of visitor spending has grown from $73 million in 1993 to $195 million in 2017. And throughout her career, Marcy has received several awards and has been involved with several community organizations. She currently serves as the Executive Director of the Missouri Association of Convention and Visitors Bureaus and is the immediate past chair of the Missouri Tourism Commission. Marcy has also been appointed by several governors to serve as commissioner on the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Records Commission, and the Missouri Humanities Council. Marcy is a graduate of the University of Missouri, proud mother of twin daughters who recently graduated from William Jewell, and is married to Gary Hazelrig, who graduated from Northwest Missouri State. Marcy, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you. I always listen to your program, so I really appreciate you inviting me.
Well, thank you very much. And I guess we've got a lot to talk about here. First of all, let's describe the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau and its makeup and mission.
St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau is a marketing organization that markets to people outside of Buchanan County to get them to come to Buchanan County. It's an economic development tool. We market outside the community to get them to come to the community. We want them to spend their money, have a good time, go to our attractions, and we're not there to educate their children, to provide social services for them or anything like that. We want them to come, spend their money, have a great time, go back home, tell more people about it, and then bring more money back next time. That's basically our mission, whether it's conventions, motor coaches, sporting events, individual leisure travelers. That's our mission.
And obviously, marketing takes some money. How's tourism funded in Northwest Missouri?
Well, in St. Joseph or in Buchanan County, it is funded by a 0.1% general countywide sales tax, which is different than most destination marketing organizations. They are usually funded by a hotel tax. We have a hotel tax in St. Joseph, but it goes to the city to use for other projects. Ours is a general countywide sales tax. And I'd like to say, if you buy a stick of gum in Buchanan County, 0.1% of that sales tax goes to promote marketing, which gives us a lot more leverage than being tied to a hotel tax. And it does not go into funding facilities. It's marketing to get people to come in and spend money.
What type of challenges are there to marketing the region?
A lot of challenges right now. The changes in media. You know, it used to be we did a lot of print advertising, that kind of thing, billboards. It's really moved to social marketing, to electronic marketing. And so adapting to those changes is kind of a challenge. But we're in a great region to market for tourism. I mean, we are close to an international airport. We are right on all of the internet, the highways. We're in a great spot. We just have to let people realize that flyover territory is actually safe, fun territory that has a lot to offer.
I think we were talking before we started the interview that really North Missouri and St. Joseph and this region is really underappreciated, I think, for a lot of people outside of this region.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we at the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau take on a larger role. We don't just market Buchanan County. We realize that it's about the visitor experience, not about whether you're in Buchanan County or Andrew County or Nottoway County. It's like, let's sell this experience. And we know, since we have lots of hotels, they'll probably stay in our community, and that's fine. If they come up and go to Mozingo, we want them to do that. We want them to go to Conception Abbey. We want them to go to the wind farms in King City, all those kinds of things. So we actually kind of take on a role with the Pony Express region tourism to package that and work with our partners in the other areas of Northwest Missouri. And the Pony Express region is actually 13 counties in Northwest Missouri. So it goes all the way over to Livingston and all of that. So we incorporate a lot of things that we actually run out of our office, even though that's not really our job, but that's what our visitors want.
As far as an economic impact for tourism in the region, what type of impact are you seeing from, I guess, both the dollars aspect of things and then maybe go into jobs that it brings to the region?
Well, people are always amazed about the economic impact of tourism. It's not something that you can count how many widgets you made or how many motorcycles you made or how many pigs you slaughtered. It's a much more comprehensive number. The Missouri Department of Revenue has determined their barometer for tourism expenditures by county in the entire state based upon 17 SIC codes, which are standard industrial codes. They've been doing this for years. I mean, people in Nottoway County would be amazed. Nottoway County generates $26 million in tourism spending right now and employs 998 people. That's amazing. Buchanan County is much larger, but that's okay. But, I mean, people here in Nottoway County, I'm glad that they've realized how important tourism marketing or tourism is to their community and increased the hotel tax to take care of some things that will generate more tourism spending in this community.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of exciting things just going on in Maryville itself to bring tourism.
Correct.
In. So also just talk a little bit about your group at Voyant Markets North Missouri and some of the things that you've got coming up that you've been busy as far as marketing right now.
Oh, the group that does Northwest Missouri, they have a small visitors guide. They have a website. They have a number of things. And the most important thing is that they interact with each other and they talk to each other so that the people in King City with the wind farms don't think they're out there all on their own with nobody to help them promote tourism. Same thing with Conception, same thing with Maryville, same thing with Atchison County. And they meet on a quarterly basis and really try and interact with each other and help each other. Then we also have the Highway 36 Association, which is not just Northwest Missouri, but we're kind of the kingpin on that too in some ways. And that promotes Highway 36 from St. Joseph to Hannibal. And it's not just Highway 36. It encompasses communities 36 miles north and 36 miles south, or if you can drive there in 36 minutes. And if you speed, you can actually get to some of the other ones, but, you know, you can try it. And that has been a very successful thing. That was the initial Pikes Peak Ocean to Ocean Highway back in the 1920s, one of the very first transcontinental highways. And its headquarters was actually in St. Joseph in 1926. And so we're kind of recreating the Missouri section of it and partnering with the Kansas section and promoting the best way to go instead of driving I-70. If going to Columbia or Jeff City, do not get on I-70. Take 36 and go down from Macon and you're set.
And it's four lanes all the way across.
Absolutely.
Now, had a chance to do that recently. And just especially this time of year with the rains we've had, it's such a pretty drive, really, from St. Joseph all the way over to Hannibal. It's a far prettier drive than if you swing down to 70.
No, I always say on Highway 36, there are no big billboards. There are no big trucks. There are a few more now. The only big thing on Highway 36 are the bugs at harvest time.
And that's something that, you got to expect a little
bit. That's yucky.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think one thing you've got coming up pretty quick, you look at August 21st. That's a big, big event for St. Joseph with the total solar eclipse.
August 21st, 2017. That's the whole jingle they've got going on in St. Joe, and I can't get it out of my brain. Yes, the eclipse is a huge thing for St. Joseph. We are the fifth largest community along the line of totality. We have been taking calls from all over the world, sending out information, eclipse merchandise, all over the world. We have a group of 200 folks coming from Israel that are bringing their own kosher chef and renting out an entire hotel so that they can feed their people. Incredible response. And this is something that hasn't happened in over 100 years and won't happen for another 100 years. So there's no way we can know what is actually going to happen. However, our organization, the Buchanan County Tourism Board, started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, pulling together a group of people to start talking about it, including emergency management people, the FBI, the Highway Patrol, to make sure that we had public safety in place, also marketing events. And our website has all kinds of information about it, and it's www.stjomo.com. And all your eclipse information is right there.
When did you first realize that this was going to be a major happening for St. Joseph?
Oh, we had a call about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, and we thought, this is some crazy lady calling. She said, do you realize you guys are right at the center of the eclipse? This is going to be big. And we're going, yeah, right. What is she talking about? I'm sorry. We're worried about softball teams and, you know, things that we're working on. And then we started to realize, and we realized that somebody really needed to kind of take the reins, not to plan it, but to coordinate the communication. So that's what we've done. And I have to say, if you talk to anybody in the state, the St. Joe effort is way ahead of everything from St. Louis to any of them.
And just talk a little bit about where the city approved eclipse viewing locations and maybe some of the background of getting those set up.
It's part of the committee effort. There is a huge viewing location at Rosecrans Airport, and actually Michael Backish, who is the associate editor of Astronomy Magazine. His in-laws are from St. Joseph, so he's setting up at Rosecrans, and he's bringing in astronomers from all over the world, from Scotland and England and Australia, and they're having a huge viewing center there. The Remington Nature Center along the river will have a viewing spot. East Hills Mall, what a great place. Go out there in their parking lot, and it's August 21st, so it's going to be hot. If you get hot, you can go inside in the air conditioning. Menards will have a viewing location. There are a number of them, but obviously you can view it from anywhere as long as you have your eclipse glasses, because do not view it without your eclipse glasses.
Yeah, I think that's a big concern. You get some people that think it's just okay to look up, and
no,
that's going to be very, very, very detrimental to their eyes.
No, no. You wear the glasses during when the moon's shadow starts to come across the sun. During totality, the 2 minutes and 38 seconds, take your glasses off. You have to take them off to really experience all the things that happened, but then put them back on as the moon shadow goes the other way. And they're on our website, and we can get you eclipse glasses. That's not a problem, but make sure your friends and family have them.
Oh, yeah. Again, we're talking with Marcy Bennett. And Marcy, just talk a little bit as well about some of the other events that coincide with Eclipse Day and that weekend. I know it's been a busy, very busy time, and it'd be a great opportunity that weekend to be in St. Joseph for a lot of different things.
We have all kinds of things going on. Your listeners may be familiar with Trails West, which is our annual festival. This is its 25th anniversary, and it's on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're actually staying open on Monday, and I think it's Trace Atkins that's there on Saturday night. How cool is that? But they will be open on Monday. That will be one of our viewing sites. Several things are going on. Mount Morris Cemetery has a special thing with some of the people that are buried there sort of coming to life as characters and talking about their involvement with eclipses and with lunar activities, that kind of thing. The Remington Nature Center has events going on. As I mentioned, Rosecrans Airport, East Hills Shopping Center has some children's activities, and there's just lots to do. And if you go to the website, stjomo.com, there's a whole listing of all the things you can see and do while you're in St. Joe. Yeah, come early. Do not try and get there. Don't think, oh, we're 30 minutes away or we're 40 minutes away. We can get there to see the beginning of the eclipse. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You need to come very early. Make sure in your car, it's kind of like preparing for an ice storm. Make sure that your car is full of gas. Make sure you have some bottled water. Make sure you have your glasses, maybe something to eat, and then come on down. But if you get stuck in traffic, you don't want to miss the eclipse, so you need to have your glasses and be comfortable.
Along those lines, I know it probably is too late at this point even for a hotel and things along those lines, but I might just talk about hotel camping and other lodging opportunities available, if there are any available at all right now.
Oh, there are. Oh, absolutely. There are camping opportunities available at Rosecrans Airport and at Heritage Park, which is our softball field. We actually have four hotels that still have some rooms available, but they are 2 and 3 night minimums with about a $350 to $400 night cost. And there are people. I had a guy call from DC today that he didn't care. You know, that's what he wants to do because it's once in a lifetime. So. Yes, there are places available.
Give us an idea as far as details of the eclipse timeline for St. Joseph and what people can expect that day.
Well, actually, the eclipse begins at 11:40.34 seconds in the morning, and that's when you will be able to see the moon shadow coming across the sun. The total eclipse is at 1:06 in the afternoon. So you'll be able to watch stuff going across, and that's when you keep your glasses on. But then at 1:06, when it's totality, you take the glasses off. Because they say it drops, the temperature drops by 10 degrees. The birds go to roost. There's like wind that comes up. It's totally awe-inspiring from everything that I've heard and read. And then the end of totality, of course, is 2 minutes and 38 seconds after 1:07. But the actual eclipse ends at 2:34. That's when the shadow moves back to the other side.
And what are some of the other things residents and visitors should consider during the eclipse weekend?
Well, one thing we found, you know, the hotels are virtually sold out, but everybody in town seems to have friends and relatives, whether they like them or not, are coming to stay with them. They're just infusing their houses. So what we tell people is be prepared, not only if you're driving in a vehicle, but in your home. Make sure that you have your bread and milk and ice and food and all of that so that you don't have to go out to the grocery store because you're not going to get there. We don't think.
And also, I think cell service, that might be something people will take for granted now, but with all the people coming in, the cell towers are going to be overloaded.
Absolutely, and that's something that our emergency management people are looking at. What they say is texting will be the first thing that will go through. And in the when the Royals won, cell service went down in downtown Kansas City because there was overload. Everybody was trying to call people. So texting will go through first. Cell calls will go through next, but it may go down and your internet service may go down as well. I know AT&T is bringing in what they call a cow, which is like an amplification, whatever. I was born before 1970, so I don't understand all of that, but I believe it. So that is one of the issues that we're looking at. And emergency management people do have special radios and all of that, so we can take care of EMS calls and that kind of thing.
I guess one other thing to talk about deals with official solar eclipse merchandise available. I imagine you've got a lot of things that are available for people to kind of take back as souvenirs of this event.
Absolutely. We started this about a year ago, and we have some commemorative eyeglasses that talk about the solar eclipse in St. Joseph, Missouri, and they're very colorful. They match solar eclipse t-shirts that are commemorative, as well as posters. You can get all of those online or stop by our offices in St. Joseph. That's fine. You can get them all online, and we will ship them to you.
All right. Well, Marcy, thanks all for being with us on our program this morning.
Thank you.
Again, that's Marcy Bennett, who is the Executive Director of the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. I'm John Coffey, and we'll be back with more on All Things Northwest right after this. Support for KAXCV KRNW comes from the city of Maryville, home to Mazinga Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 golf course and the newly opened Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazinga's golf offerings and tee times is at mazingalake.com. Underwriting support on KXCV KRNW is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Daily Forum, providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday, and news updates throughout the day at MarryvilleDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424. Welcome back to the August edition of All Things Northwest. I'm John Coffey, filling in for Northwest Missouri State President Dr. John Chizinski, and we now visit with Dr. Tim Wall. Tim joined the faculty and has worked at Northwest Missouri State for 11 years, first from 2002 to 2009, and since from 2013 to the present. He enters his second year as Dean and Director of the Northwest School of Education and Director of Teacher Education. Tim also serves as a faculty member, teaching doctoral courses in collaboration with the University of Missouri and advising about 50 doctoral candidates in research relating to quantitative analysis, assessment, and policy related to state and federal education and social justice. He's contributed more than 60 peer review articles, book chapters, or state and national education presentations. Tim was invited to give an international keynote policy presentation in Birmingham, England, at the University's Council for the Education of Teachers in 2014. Dr. Wall has degrees in history from Truman State, minors in English, French, and coursework in music, MSED, also teaching history from Northwest, ED.D, also educational leadership and policy analysis from the University of Missouri. Dr. Wall is married to Dr. Jenny Wall, an associate professor of mathematics education at Northwest, and they have three children as well. First of all, Dr. Wall, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
And let's just talk a little bit about what's new at the School of Education. I think this is a very exciting time right now for your department, and might tell our listeners about the educator preparation at Northwest.
Thank you very much. It's easy to brag about what you love, and I'm super blessed to work with incredible faculty. We have 21 faculty in the School of Education. We also have professional teachers in the Horace Mann and Leet Center elementary school and preschool, and we also work with a regional professional development program. And that team of about 60 of us, plus faculty and staff and graduate assistants, help to prepare educators for the future for urban and rural and suburban opportunities once they leave Northwest. One of the things we're really excited about is our education redesign. And about 2.5 years ago, Dr. Joyce Piverall, then the dean of the School of Education, came to the faculty and said, "Folks, if you could redesign education from scratch and build it the way that you desire it to be, what would it look like?" So Dr. Sue Wood and several colleagues, Dr. Farnan in special education, Nancy Foley, who's now retired, also in special education, and several others, really spearheaded a drive to make education redesign take place. This coincided with a change in state policy where teacher education had to move from, in some cases, 160 hours of credit down to 120 or 124, getting closer to that. And that's hard to do. So what we did is we merged some coursework together and also kind of gave students a new opportunity to learn together. Elementary, early childhood, middle school, and secondary all take the same courses for the first phase of their education program, which encompasses three semesters. So from day one, the students are engaged in learning from master teachers and professors, and they're actually working with kids, including my own. Aliana and Karina are now 7 and 5, and they have Northwest student teachers and practicum students help them with their learning. So one of the things that sets Northwest out from other teacher ed institutions is that we have 555 or more hours of practicum experiences. So by the time your typical student graduates as a senior, they've had a year-long student teaching. They've had the opportunity to learn from lots of different teachers, and they have a pretty good grounding in how to develop the right pedagogy, the sets of teaching skills and pedagogical content knowledge, a fancy way of saying knowing exactly how to use those pedagogical skills to teach students and make a difference in their lives. And more than anything, I think they've had the chance to fail a little, which is strange to talk about. But, you know, when you get good at something, whether it's catching past patterns with Rich Wright or becoming a great teacher, I think it's important for us to struggle a little bit and get a chance to overcome that and to truly learn and grow.
I think when you look at the things you're doing in your department, it really goes to an overall concept that you see from the university being job ready from day one after graduation, and that's a lot of what your department's all about.
We've had some pretty good opportunities since right around 1905 to help prepare students for the professions of education as teachers and leaders. You know, Northwest takes its roots as a normal school. But we're going in some new directions with even more opportunities to go beyond Horace Mann and the Leet Center to take our students to urban communities. We've got great strategic partnerships with great districts in the Kansas City area, including Independence, North Kansas City, and several others, Liberty, Park Hill, Blue Springs. Those are the kinds of places that we have traditionally sent our students. And then we also provide our 40-county catchment region with the teachers that that they know they can trust the quality of a Northwest educator. We also have great school leader programs, too, that Dr. Keeney and several of our staff have put together innovative new programs, one of which is the first in the nation to hit the national ed leadership standards, things that we're proud of. We're continually innovating and renovating at the same time.
When you see a student come through your program, what are some of the things that you see as far as the characteristics of a student going through the Northwest Education Department really makes these students stand out?
One of the things I think that we do the best, and they take this from their faculty members, so I'll put our team of faculty up with any in the nation. We show that we care about our students. We don't ever lower our standards, but we'll have our arm around their shoulders and maybe our foot towards their backside to make sure that they work as hard as they can, to give the kind of critical friend feedback that will move them from good to great in knowing exactly how to use the right strategies and the right opportunities. But Jill Baker, Chantel Farnan, Sue Wood, Vicky Seeger, the kinds of faculty we have are those that will be that surrogate parent, almost like an aunt, someone who will get the most out of their students by being there for them, late night emails, office visits. We invest in students, and we expect them to go out into the classroom and do the same for the students that are going to be fortunate enough to have them.
One thing about being an educator, it's essentially a 24/7 job, isn't it?
It can be. And that's something that we're proud of. I think it's a calling, not just a profession. We invest in our students. And we take it for granted that we invest in every student every day. Another thing that differentiates Northwest teacher candidates from others is that we have a really strong grounding in social justice education, that we want to know the ecology of teaching, for instance, is one of our new redesign courses. We want to know what we bring to the table as a teacher, as well as the background, community involvement, families, and family of origin that the student comes to. So we try to find that marriage between finding a way to reach them and let them know that we care, and also holding up that high standard that they can aspire to, which I think is part of the reason why Missouri's Teacher of the Year. Darby Valenti is a Northwest graduate, and Nebraska's Teacher of the Year, Tim Royers, luckily one of my former students, is, you know, we treat them as though they have more to give, and we ask for it, and that's the Northwest way. There's no easy fix to become a teacher candidate. You have to work really hard, and you have to spend a lot of time learning, and our students do that, and they do it really well.
And we were talking with Dr. Tim Wall, and Dr. Wall, your department also has shown strong results in Tier 1 programs, and again, that may be a term that a lot of people outside of education aren't familiar with. You might explain Tier 1 and just talk about those successes that you've had.
Well, thank you. Tier 1 is universities across our state have been required to be ranked and sorted, essentially, on metrics that are available to all. And we're already kind of divided in our state in terms of the kinds of institutions that prepare educators. We have four Carnegie classifications. We have open enrollment institutions and moderately selective, and then selective and highly selective. And one of the things I'm most proud about is that we outshone or outkicked the coverage, I suppose, for the moderately selective institutions that we are in league with. So 85% of our teacher candidates did better than the state average in actually being a good teacher, as measured by the MEES, which is Missouri's Effective Evaluation System, Effective Educator System, excuse me. We also had a 95% pass rate on some of our state tests. We've outperformed, I think, our competition. And I think we have a little bit of what Dr. J calls the championship culture. Two other things of note for our School of Education that I would lift up and give thanks to all the hard work that faculty and students have done. This year, our assessment director in the School of Education, Dr. Mike McBride, was awarded the Dan H. Cockerell Award for the most outstanding dissertation of the year in the entire University of Missouri system. And that is, it's an incredible accomplishment. But his work that he does to lift up social justice and bring light to policies is indicative, I think, of what we're really all about. We're aligned with what Dr. Juanita Simmons, our Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, would say. We're going in the right direction to help diversify the profession. Another accolade that Northwest School of Education recently received in 2016, the American Association of Colleges for Teacher Education, a fairly large organization with more than 850 member institutions, recognized Northwest School of Education for the most outstanding use of data to support learning and student achievement. So we had a site visit with folks from Delaware, Ohio State, and many other institutions coming to see just how that secret sauce is made. And that plays out in ways that parents and grandparents who are thinking about where to send their child to school can really take note of. One example would be Jill Baker, the education advisor for teacher education. She has hundreds of advisees, but she's developed a pretty state-of-the-art data system where she can track students who are at risk and then really give them the kind of advice that we would want for our own children, not lowering the standard, but increasing the supports. It's based on a response-to-intervention model used in schools, but I think we're the first teacher ed institution in the nation to be recognized for that outstanding data system. She was invited to present that at a national education conference this year in Florida.
Also, Dr. Wall, there's a big announcement earlier this year about a new program within your department, the new childhood education major, and you might talk a little bit about that and what that means to Northwest students as well as the region.
Great. We are exceptionally proud that 2017 we're going to offer, and we have started an early childhood education major. We think that really is going to match the community, the statewide, and the national need for more high-quality preschool education. That encompasses birth through third grade. And this will really afford our students who used to be, formerly would choose elementary education, with the opportunity to specialize in what we think will be a high growth area. We look at the future, we think of the state and federal policies, there are going to be more support and there will be more need for early childhood care. So a major makes a lot of sense. And I'd like to thank Dr. Pradnya Patet, our program coordinator, and her team for building that. We're pretty excited about that.
And might talk a little bit about the principles that this program is going to be based on.
Sure. Those principles are really infused with belief that children of all ages have a contribution to make, and we expect that they can show their learning in collaboration, working together. And it's infused with information gleaned from about 50 or 60 years of studying all the best programs in the world. In fact, for the last 2 years, students and faculty have led a study away tour, taken a study away tour to Reggio Emilia in Italy. There's a pretty fascinating background there. After World War II, the folks in the community of Reggio looked with dismay at dismantled buildings and the remnants of German panzers left in their communities. So they literally melted down the tanks and used the money that they made from selling those raw materials to build a school that would put children first. That's our emphasis. So with our great instruction on hands-on learning, my own children have gone through that program, and I can say that it's just a powerful transformational piece. We've also got an outdoor classroom for that early childhood center, so they can learn in natural settings and plant gardens, harvest them, and share some of the benefits of really thinking outside the box. The passionate teachers that we have in our LEAT Center, and Cindy Rauner, our school director, and the teachers, Megan, Erica, and Michelle, they just do such a good job for students and young learners. We all have to send our kids to early childhood care, but there's no better place, I think, than to send them to Northwest Missouri State's LEAT Center. The center has so much going for it, and we just really have seen great results from children. They're well prepared. They're happy. They're learning by doing. Those are things we can all agree we believe in.
I might transition into a little bit of a discussion about Horseman at the LEAT Center and the role it plays not only with the School of Education, but also students and the community.
I think Horace Mann has some incredible opportunities for families in our community. It's a kindergarten through sixth grade school, and we have world-class teachers. Those teachers are phenomenal, and they have high standards for the students. So it functions as a private school inside a public school setting. The actual tuition is about $2,000 per student per year. There's a discount if you have multiple children. And for that, you get state-of-the-art instruction, opportunities to learn, hands-on opportunities to learn for children. And there's an undercurrent infused with social justice that through recognition that maybe we have some opportunities that we can make the world a better place. Two of our students in Horace Mann last year, Nino and Boyd, got to present their research, which is pretty fascinating when fifth and sixth graders go to a state conference to show how they've looked at finding a way to make more socially just costumes for Halloween. Then they sent that information on through Disney and some of the costume makers that there are other ways to do it than instead of degrading groups. So I think that takes the university philosophy for diversity, equity, and inclusion and infuses it into our area. Now, from a teaching point of view, what better way to learn your craft than doing? I think that's vital. We have hundreds of hours of opportunities for students to observe and teach, and they get to co-teach and learn from master teachers with master's degrees and professors with terminal degrees in their areas. So it's a really great place to have a laboratory school. I don't want that word to just slip away. You know, when we send students into the science lab and computer lab, we expect to see some sort of transformation. And I think we see that between the freshman and the senior year, that instead of going in and observing, they're actually planning lessons. They're working in partnership. They're assessing student work and giving them feedback and seeing the growth and then seeing the results. We're good at tracking the results of our work. So Horace Mann is proud to be here. The laboratory school is phenomenal, and Sandy Seipel has done a really remarkable job leading that. We are open for enrollment too, John, in case any families in the community would like to get a hold of us. Look us up on the internet or give us a call.
All right. And again, we're talking with Dr. Tim Wald, the Dean of the Northwest School of Education. And let's just talk a little bit now about new directions that the School of Education is going in. I know one area that's been a major emphasis is trying to expand some partnerships outside of the university.
Dr. Becky Albright, the superintendent of the Maryville School District, and I both share a desire to work together even more than Northwest and the school district have in the past. And this year we found a really willing partner in Hy-Vee store director in Maryville, Travis Bicey, who through Dr. Jasinski, it was made known that he would like to try a new initiative, something that they've tried in Iowa and at K-State called the Hy-Vee Kids Fit Initiative. So I put together a team of talented physical education professionals, including Gina McNeese, the State Teacher of the Year in PE, who's our Horace Mann physical education teacher and a professor, and Dr. Terry Long and Matt Simmons, and several of us got together with Cindy and Sandy and Travis and some dietitian folks who helped us out. And so we put on an event that we aimed at all the third and fourth graders in Nottoway County. What if they could come to campus and work out for an hour or so and do fun activities and see how joyous it can be to exercise and learn and prize fitness and nutrition? That was a pretty good success, I think. We had all the kids in Nottoway County in third and fourth grade come. And I would like to thank Hy-Vee and Dr. Albright and the school district for supporting that. Those are the kinds of things we need to do at Northwest, bringing the people from our community to see what we have to offer and being a part of things that make long-lasting impacts are things that I'll always buy into. That's one example of new partnerships with the school districts. We're also doing some great work with director of Northwest Kansas City, Dr. Neil Nuttall, who has a deep career in education as a superintendent and a president of North Central Missouri, Trenton, for 11 years. Now that he's down in Kansas City, Neil and I are working on new programs to offer in the Kansas City metro area to suburban and urban districts. We have one that I'm really passionate about that's launched this summer through the shepherding of Dr. Vicki Seeger, one of our great professors and a National Board Certified Teacher. We're offering a Grow Your Own program. Students who are juniors and seniors in high school can get a way to be immersed in what it is to be a teacher. So they go into a two-week class taught at our center in Northwest Kansas City, and then they go do their observation in an actual elementary school and get to teach. So that's even beyond, earlier we talked about teaching from day one or engaging from day one, profession-based learning. Now we're finding people, giving them some sort of vocational choice. Is this something you'd consider doing? So the Grow Your Own idea is that the state of Missouri has indicated that we're likely to have a teacher shortage, and we don't want that. So what if we could find students, including those, and our goal is to get at least half the students from marginalized or underrepresented minority backgrounds who maybe have never considered a career in education. If we can help them see that it's really a beautiful profession that has a lot of meaning, while also providing them support so that they can be on-ramped to succeed and just instead of off-ramped away through not passing the test or not getting the right GPA, if we can provide supports, then maybe we can, through Northwest and our partnership in Kansas City with our school partners, maybe we can make a difference to provide that increasing amount of teachers needed for the future. That is one of two really exciting new programs. And the second program is called Fast Tracks, which works with a community college so that students dual enroll at Northwest Missouri State and MCC. And they take a kind of a no-frills approach, getting through in 4 years, and they have a great experience. And that's offered at our Northwest Kansas City campus and at the campuses of MCC and other community colleges. Those are really exciting things that we're doing. We're just starting, I think. We've got a lot of groundwork to lay, but hopefully we can send our brand beyond just Maryville, down to Kansas City, through other places, and take the love and support we provide for students with great faculty and deliver that everywhere we go.
Well, I tell you, Tim, it sounds like it's an exciting time to be a part of the Department of Education right now.
It is. It's really exciting. And this is the dream job for me, John. I've always wanted to build a school. And then 1999, when I came here as a student to earn my master's degree, I thought I'll probably be in Maryville and then return to suburban St. Louis. But I found a home. I found some community involvement, and the people of Maryville and the surrounding communities just do marvelous things. I suppose the only other dream job would be that if Rich Wright is listening, I do have 4 years of eligibility remaining.
What position?
Statistician.
Well, we could probably use you in the booth then. All right. Well, Tim, thanks a lot for being with us on this program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Again, that is Dr. Tim Wall. He is the Dean and Director of the Northwest School of Education at Northwest Missouri State. I'm John Coffey. And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Marcy Bennett and Dr. Tim Wall. Thanks, too, to our producer, Lizzie McCoy, a student here at Northwest Missouri State, along with KXCV General Manager Rodney Harris. Thanks also for assisting us in enhancing our culture through your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV, KRNW, and Public Radio. For John Jasinski, I'm John Coffey. Take good care and keep celebrating and advancing our region.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from the City of Maryville and Nottoway County Economic Development. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by audio and journalism major Lizzie McCoy. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.